Hello, and welcome to Not Shallow. I'm Rebecca Collins. This episode, I'm talking about randomness and some of the places you can find it. Some of the people in your life who stumble through your life that can offer you some randomness. I love random stuff, random events, the weird conversation you overhear while you're riding the bus. I think this is why I love thrift store shopping so much, sorting through the old crap. I also love finding something left behind in a library book or a used book, like a bookmark or a photo or a shopping list or a receipt. I'll just sit there and pore over it and wonder, well, where did this come from and why was it important? And what can I discern about the person that left this behind? App on the subconscious. And so random thoughts bubble up and you're actually trying not to wake up too much or you can't go back to sleep. So I noticed that I have just completely off the wall random thoughts as I'm peeing at 3 a.m. And I tried to keep track of some of these thoughts to the best of my ability for like a week. And you know, I wasn't always writing them down. And so I had some really good ones and I know they disappeared by the morning, they were gone. So I should have been writing them down, but there's some that I did remember. So here they are, random thoughts collected over the course of a couple weeks, 3 a.m. pee. Number one, I need to Google the Weather Girls when I wake up in the morning and find out their backstory. What happened to them? Which came first, I wonder? The name The Weather Girls or the song It's Raining Men? Like, did they have the name and then decide to come up with a weather-related song? Or did they have this song they wanted to produce and then said, hey, while we're at it, we should call ourselves The Weather Girls. Two, you know, these are probably the good times. Next year I could be in a wheelchair or I could be dead. So I should enjoy myself more. I will think of ways to enjoy myself more first thing in the morning. Three, I should get into falconry. Is that a word? How does someone even get started in falconry? How does one get access to falcons? How could I acquire a falcon? And would I even want a falcon? Because I'm pretty sure it's not a love relationship. I'm sure it's a one-way street, even more than with a cat. I heard they're mean, but that's probably not fair. I mean, if you're a bird of prey, it's not really on your agenda to be nice to everyone. Four, I think I had a dream. I think I just had a dream about having one eyebrow. I had one eyebrow and the other was shaved down to nothing. Would this actually look good? Should I do it? Could it be a trend? I heard they never grow back if you pluck them all out or if you shave them. Then you have to draw them on. And that never looks right to me. It's one is always crooked then. You have to have a very steady hand for that to work. Five, is it possible to drive your own Rolls Royce? I mean, does anyone drive themselves around in a Rolls Royce? Because I've never seen it. I've actually never seen a Rolls Royce. But in the movies, everyone always has a driver. So do you need a driver? Is it gauche to drive yourself in a Rolls Royce? It seems, actually, just seems kind of sad. Six. God, my neighbors are weird. I need to start keeping a logbook on them. Like I'm Harriet the Spy. Only I can't tell anyone what I'm doing because then I'm the weird one and somehow they're normal. Seven. The best kind of friend to have is when you're someplace where you shouldn't laugh. Like in class or at a lecture or maybe, you know, when I was younger, when I went to church, or maybe at a funeral, and you start laughing about something together, maybe because you caught each other's eye, and you just laugh uncontrollably, silently, until tears are running down your cheeks. And maybe if it's in class, you're writing notes back and forth on a sheet of paper. I remember doing that a lot in high school and college, writing notes on a notebook and sliding it back and forth during class and laughing and trying not to look like I'm laughing at all, except I'm sure my face was bright red. And later on, you read the notes and it isn't even funny at all. It was because you had to suppress it. I remember laughing about stuff in church with my sister when I was growing up. And there was just something about that silent laughter threatening to burst out. And the feeling of closeness you have over a joke that's just privately shared. It's like one of the warmest feelings in the world. What was up? What was up with that woman on the bus? The one who kept talking about a friend's fashion blog, running it down. She said, "She's cute. The clothes are cute, but the presentation is awful." I guess this meant that the woman had no clue how to put together an outfit. But the woman who was saying this had such an awful voice all in her nose, and she talked really fast, and I wasn't even sure how the guy sitting with her could stand it. How could he stand her talking about fashion while she was wearing that terrible flowered shirt? And then she said something that really made me mad, or just uneasy or annoyed. She said, "She gets a lot of freebies, which is something I'm working towards." Wow, that is a goal. That's a goal to have. I'm working towards more freebies in my life. I think you, lady in the flowered shirt, and everyone else in America. 9. Am I the only one who keeps Googling to see if the official cause of death for Amanda Peterson has been reported on yet? I mean, I know it's drugs. It's drugs, right? Oh, it's got to be drugs. God, I loved Can't Buy Me Love so much. 10. I could really go for a margarita right now. Would it be weird or inappropriate to go downstairs right now and squeeze some limes and mix a drink and sit outside to drink it? I wonder what I would see. So when you're talking about randomness and random events and random occurrences, I think one of the most frequent places this can happen is in public restrooms and locker rooms at the gym. I mean, the gym is just all about, it's just a hotbed of randomness. So I have Keith here with me. Hey, Keith.
Yes.
One thing that seems to be a big feature of your life is locker room and bathroom, like public bathroom randomness.
Yeah. And I don't know what's up with this. I don't know that part of me thinks that everybody must have this stuff going on around them. And maybe I just notice it more. Maybe everybody notices it and just keeps it to themselves.
Maybe.
I know that I am a magnet for very strange things happening in gym locker rooms and bathrooms.
Right. But you never confront the people.
Not usually.
You're just kind of like a bystander.
Pretty much, yeah.
Let's dig in with some of your top locker room encounters.
Okay.
What's your all-time favorite? No, wait. Let's not start there.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Let's do a slow ramp up.
Okay. Well, so here's one. I currently go to the downtown Minneapolis YMCA, which is a very lovely gym. I like it quite a bit. I go over lunch now a couple times a week, and there's this very white-collar crowd Well, it's a mix, I guess. It's like mostly white collar and then like some just daytime gym rat dudes. But there's a man who is often there at the same time as me, who is an older gentleman, we'll say 55, 60. He always comes in this very nice kind of Robert Shapiro style suit. And so I think he's a lawyer. He's got pinstripes and everything. And he works out at about the same time I work out, and he gets done about the same time I get done. And when we go back to we're both back in the locker room at about the same time, and I'm changing. And after he gets done, before he changes, he wipes himself down over his entire body with this like liniment that smells like cat piss. And it makes the whole locker room smell like cat piss.
A liniment.
I don't know.
So, a.k.a. ointment? What's the difference?
I think, in my sense, a liniment is like something you put on for aching muscles.
And I'm so like, it's kind of like a balm.
Yeah, it's kind of
a cat piss balm.
Yes, exactly.
And he has to rub it. Now, does he shower?
I don't think he showers.
So he just gets takes off his workout clothes, rubs on the cat piss, and goes back to work?
Yes.
In his pinstripe
suit?
Puts
his pinstripe suit on over the liniment.
So it must be some muscle relaxer?
That's what I think. Hmm. It smells awful.
But has anyone ever else indicated that they smell this?
No, but he has some friends that he'll like chat with
as he's
rubbing himself up.
Okay, that's weird.
That's pretty weird.
That's pretty weird.
Okay, another thing, and this isn't a character. This is a recurring behavior that happens in the same locker room. I don't know why this is. And this behavior seems to cut across social class. Men at the downtown YMCA love to blow dry their balls. It just over and over. You work out, you work up a sweat. Yep.
So, not being a man, I have to ask, has this happened in other places in your life?
I have only ever seen it at the downtown Y.
What is the... So it just gets kind of moist?
Well, yeah,
moist,
you know, I mean,
down there?
It's kind of a natural sweat reservoir.
Sure, but are they showering?
I don't pay enough attention. You know, like these people only come to my attention when I see them like spread eagled in front of the blow dryer. I don't know what they were doing before that.
So now that you say that, I do want to say that one time in a woman's locker room, I might have seen a woman with very large breasts kind of holding them up and trying to dry with a blow dryer or like a hand dryer underneath them.
Yeah, I think it's the same sort of thing. There's probably like a practical argument you can make for this. You know, these people might say like, "Hey, I'm fighting fungus." You're the loser
really
for not doing.
Is that really something you do in front of other people?
Well, I would say no.
You know, that's just bizarre.
But okay, so are you saying that if a dude wants to just blow dry his balls in the privacy of his own home,
sure,
you're down.
Hey, anything goes at home.
Okay, I agree.
The key is other people shouldn't have to watch you do these things like that. Yeah. You can't unsee that.
No, you can't.
So when they're drying their balls,
yes.
What are they doing with their face? Are they looking around?
Just looking around.
They don't care.
No.
That anyone sees this.
No.
Okay.
There's a little bit of element of like, come at me, bro.
Oh!
You know?
It's, what?
Yeah.
Come at me?
Well, you know, you're saying like, I
they're challenging you.
Yeah, they're
like,
saying
you're
like,
going to say something?
Exactly.
You're going to say something about what I'm doing with my balls?
You got the stones?
Yeah. Do you have the balls to confront me about my balls?
Exactly.
Okay.
Another behavior that I see that I... Okay, so there's a steam room I don't use as much as I used to, partly because I was in there once and there was a gentleman. So the steam room, you know, people generally go in not wearing anything or, you know, they're wrapped up in a towel or maybe a swimsuit. But, you know, people are quite often sitting on the benches, you know, without clothes.
Right.
And that's just that's the boundary conditions of the steam room. That's how it is. And so you'd think people would like work around that. But this dude was in there shaving.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Shaving
his face. But he would like, he'd shave. You know, so he had like, he'd brought shaving cream in and he lathered up and he'd like shave a stroke and then just tap the razor on the bench where people, you
know. Oh my God, these people are animals.
They are.
Yeah, people are animals.
Yes. Okay, well, other animal activity. I didn't see this. I just lived with the aftermath of this. One time I hung my sweater, you know, hung all my clothes in the gym locker room, worked out, changed, took my sweater off the hook, put my sweater on. Was walking back to work and I looked down and saw a dirty Q-tip sticking to my sweater because some sick bastard cleaned his ears and put it in the locker.
Oh my God.
And yeah.
I'm wondering, wasn't it one time, didn't you find like a collection of toenails?
I have found toenails on the floor, yes. I also at the Bally Fitness in Bloomington saw this old dude clipping his toenails like way too close. So he was like bleeding all over.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
He's like leaving just this collection of blood and toenails on the floor.
Oh. I think maybe we should have had some kind of trigger warning before we started this episode.
The Bally locker room really was like the Cadillac of bad old man behavior.
Oh.
My favorite, and this really is my favorite thing that I've ever seen in a locker room, was this like tubby old man. In my mind now, he like looks kind of like a Roman emperor.
Of course. Wearing a toga?
Well, no, wearing nothing.
Oh, wearing
but, you know,
nothing.
Like the Caesar haircut.
Caesar haircut.
Gouty and corpulent. Just in the shower, just like luxuriously washing himself using a pair of dirty tidy whities as a washcloth.
No. What?
Yep.
Tidy. His own underwear became a washcloth.
Walked in wearing them, stripped them off, and started scrubbing.
No.
I saw this with my own eyes.
That's really gross.
That's gym locker rooms for you.
No, although, good. I have to say, women in the women's locker room, I have not had the experience of them being very unhygienic or rude or like just doing gross things.
No.
Women are pretty clean, pretty neat. They keep to themselves, you know, some simple changing, showering, and leaving going on. I've never seen anyone cutting their toenails.
Oh, you're missing out.
I've never seen any dirty Q-tips. I mean, I don't know.
I bet there are dirty Q-tips in a
I think they're in the
room.
Trash can, though, not in the locker.
I think you've just been lucky.
Oh, okay.
You need to look on the backs of your sweaters.
Oh, come on. So then I guess the other thing is just the public bathroom. I mean, I've had some kind of strange encounters, but I don't think anything close to what you've experienced.
Yeah, I have bad luck there too. I don't even know where to start. So I was... And the recurring theme here, too, is I've worked at, you know, I work at a university now. I worked at the University of Minnesota before this. So most of my weird bathroom encounters have been in university bathrooms. And I do think that, like, university bathrooms are probably, you know, something about the college atmosphere just makes people want to cut loose in the bathroom.
I guess.
So... The other day, actually, not too long ago, I was in the men's room and a guy who is obviously not a student, obviously not affiliated with the school, comes in and he's, you know, he's a bigger guy and he's carrying this gigantic, you know, this duffel bag, like big enough that he could have had like a German Shepherd in it or something. And he just shuffles over to the to one of the stalls, kicks his duffel bag into it, goes in and says, "Poop," and then shuts the door. And he was in there all day.
All day?
Literally.
Oh, yeah.
Like, hours later.
So he fell asleep in there.
I think so.
Just on the toilet.
Yeah. And then he spent, like, a few days. Like, he came back the next day, and I eventually I had to go down to campus security and be like, yeah, there's a dude camping out in there. And I saw then one of the janitors cleaning up. This guy had basically built a nest for himself on the toilet out of toilet paper.
Oh.
It was pretty strange.
That is pretty strange.
Pretty controversial.
Pretty controversial.
But another time I was at the University of Minnesota and I had to, you know, I had to go to the bathroom. So I went into one of the stalls and I was in the stall. You know, someone came into the stall next to me and, you know, like, okay, whatever. And then I just...
See, I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like it either, but...
It's very upsetting to me if I've decided that I'm going to do my business and someone comes in and sets up camp next to me. I mean, I feel like that's probably my problem to overcome.
Right.
Some people obviously don't care at all, but that, I just go into complete freeze mode.
Yeah, I don't... Well, that's where I was at here. I didn't like it, but I'm like, okay, you know, it's a big world. We can all have our stalls. Then, I you know, next to me, I hear this like... And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound great, but that can't be what it sounds like. And, you know, it ramps up, and I keep being like... And I'm like, oh... You know, I don't know.
Oh,
dude,
my.
dude had a bad lunch, isn't sitting well. I mean, you know, like, you know what it sounds like, but it's probably not. And, you know, and I keep like having this dialogue with myself, like, wow, it really kind of sounds, no. And after like the third or fourth round of me like telling myself it's not what it sounds like, there's just this like noise, and then a white substance is on the floor of the stall.
Do you think he knew that you were there?
It would have been hard not to.
So just no shame in that?
He acted like he had some shame then, because then I'm like, I've got to. So he like hustled out, and I, you know, right after that, and I was like, I got to see what kind of person.
Yeah, what did he look like?
Just a nervous college kid, but he was acting very nervous, and you know, he acted like he knew that he had broken the bounds of a decent society.
The only weird, I don't know if that was scary more than it was just gross, but the only thing that's happened to me recently in a public restroom was I was at work and I went to an upper floor because I'm pretty sure that I needed to have some alone time, not in that way, mm-hmm. just had to do some pooping maybe. And I just like my space. Yeah. I like to be alone. I mean, part of that is just me being self-conscious, even though like it's no big deal. And you know, part of that is just like, you know, I just feel like other people don't need to experience that with me.
Right.
So I went into the bathroom. There was like maybe five stalls, and I thought I was alone because there were no other feet. No feet. But the final stall, which is the handicap accessible stall, the door was shut.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, well, that's kind of odd. And so I just kind of looked under to see if there were any feet at all. There mm-hmm. weren't. And so I was going about my business, and then I heard something. I thought I heard something, and I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. And then as I was, you know, I was like so quiet in there, like an eerie, you know, like so quiet, like unnaturally quiet, like someone else is like frozen.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling like someone's waiting.
Yeah.
And I got out of the stall and I was like washing my hands. And I think they thought the cover of water was a good point at which they could move or shuffle or rustle. Mm-hmm. And I heard something and I was just out of that bathroom. I was just out of that bathroom. I was like, what are you doing? You're hiding. I mean, I was like, what? Well, they could have been doing a lot of things. I guess they could have been crying.
Right.
Maybe they pulled their feet up onto the toilet and just having a good cry. And then I came in and took a shit. So maybe they were the ones who could be upset with me.
That's right. You intruded on their space.
Right. But I do think it's weird to hide in a bathroom like that.
Yes, rather.
I think the social code is that you let the other person know that you're there.
Right.
At least let them know that you're there.
Well, so I think everything that we've talked about here comes down to just that George Costanza thing from Seinfeld. You know, we're trying to have a society here. let's just do our part.
We're trying to have a society. Stop being such a weirdo.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm here with my sister, Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
And our segment today, we're going to talk about
recurring randos.
And these are the people that you see various places around town, or maybe it's the same place, but they're very consistent sightings. Mm-hmm. You don't know who they are. They're strangers.
But they stand out for various reasons.
So you end up giving them nicknames. And you might see them for years or months.
Yes.
Or, well, it's usually for an extended period of time. They have to earn a nickname.
For sure. That you just, it's not a one-site nickname thing.
No. This is recurring. This is like, they play a role in your life. Mm. Our first recurring rando that probably is in the Hall of Fame is a guy that we nicknamed
Hammies.
So you want to talk about Hammies?
Well, who gave him that name? I think he might have kind of given it to himself, actually.
He actually gave himself this nickname.
So Rebecca and I were members of the Downtown Y, along with her husband, Keith. And the three of us would go in the, was it in the evenings after work? We drive, the three of us would drive together downtown to do our workout.
And this is when we were a very serious workout. We were serious.
We probably have nicknames.
There's people at this Y that gave us nicknames.
I'm sure.
They're probably like, oh, there's the exercisers.
Hey, I'd kind of like that.
Yeah,
nickname.
Really.
That's not a bad one.
This is the point in my life when I was the thinnest and the most in shape.
But
that's because all we ever did was we were either at home or we were at the gym.
We were either watching Felicity or working out or making dinner.
It was a full, rich life. Or working, I should say.
Yeah, there was that too.
We had jobs. All right, okay. Anyway,
so, you know, you usually end up seeing the same people at the Y when you always are there at the same time. But Hammy's really was a character.
He was very consistent, always there.
So just to give you a picture, Hammy's was a tall, very thin.
Very thin. Did not really maybe need to be exercising.
Yeah, well, and he... African-American, light-skinned,
yeah,
a little older.
Yep, a little older.
But he would wear very short shorts.
Yes, very short
and
shorts.
And t-shirt? What was the t-shirt?
So my favorite t-shirt was Snuffle Up, I guess.
Oh, that's right.
Which actually is like kind of kicks ass.
I know.
So he had a snuffy shirt.
He kind of looked like he came out of the 70s. Like it's somebody you'd see on Sesame Street in the 70s.
In my mind, he did also have a headband. Sweatband, but now I don't know if I'm making that up because I'm thinking 70s.
I know.
So yeah, but his two activities, I think he was a walker.
Mm-hmm.
He walked the track. Did he run?
I don't remember ever seeing him in that context. I just have the vision of
he was on the track a lot.
Okay,
but his main activity was weightlifting
and stretching.
Stretching.
Lots of stretching.
Lots of stretching. Mm-hmm. Secret of his success. So he would, but then he was, when he's lifting is when he would talk to his hammies.
Otherwise, AKA hamstrings.
Right. So you might call them your hamstrings, but you can just shortcut it and call them hammies. So he would talk to his muscles while he was lifting and he would always say, come on, hammies, come on. And you'd hear it like from across the gym. If you didn't have your headphones on, if you were using the weights, which I used to do, he'd be like, come on, hammies, don't fail me now, hammies, come on, hammies. Sometimes he'd get mad. He'd be like, hammies.
A lot of angst against his hammy.
Come on, hammies, don't do that. I don't remember him talking to any other muscles. He never was like, come on, biceps. Oh, triceps. So he's very upset with his legs. So we all saw him every time we were at the Y. The thing is we were there too. So what the hell are we talking about?
But, you know, probably the best part of the whole experience was the trip home dissecting the hammies, what he did that particular evening.
Yeah.
You know, that was the topic of conversation in the car home.
Now we've been having this conversation. Two more characters from that time period just popped into my head. Bun Man. Did you know who Bun Man?
Oh, probably.
He was like a middle-aged man who wore a bun way this is
before the man bun.
We're talking over 10 years ago. So it was a unique Bun Man. And then Barefoot Running Man. So this guy who actually looked a little bit caveman-like.
They were probably way ahead of their time.
Yeah, trendsetters, but we didn't understand it. We're like, what? Why would you run barefoot? Which I actually still think running barefoot in the Y is rude. It's rude. I don't like it. But Barefoot Running Man looked like a caveman. He kind of weird gait. He'd run.
I do remember
him. He was
him
small,
now.
Compact.
Yeah.
Kind of sandy, dirty, greasy hair that was longer.
Yes.
Same time period.
Yeah. Okay.
Same time period. And, third character from that time period, I just remembered, Faux Hammies.
I don't remember
so,
Faux Hammies.
For a while, Hammies disappeared, but oddly enough, a lookalike appeared in his place. This might have been after you stopped coming to the, in the evening when uh-huh. you stopped going to the live. Yeah. He looked like Hammy's, could have been Hammy's brother, was not Hammy's, but did a lot of the same activities, track and then lifting weights.
And stretching.
Right.
Okay.
Maybe you should tell people about Tiny Dancer.
All right. So this is kind special. Of another, this is a good segue because it also has to do with the why. There's a lot of why.
A lot of
people.
Why. Yeah.
But anyway, so this was this is about in the same time period, actually. And there was a woman who I would see everywhere. She was kind of a petite woman. A little
What do you mean kind of petite?
Okay, she was very petite.
She's tiny, like a little...
Muscular, with really long, like corkscrew curly hair.
Yep.
And I can't remember when I first noticed her, but, you know, once you start seeing these people, they start popping up everywhere. So the why, definitely. And I know I've seen her, I saw her at different coffee shops around. She was always around. And then... Once she was even in her picture was even in the newspaper, they showed her she was like dancing at the Basilica block party. And so they had this picture of her in the paper. And it was like, oh, my God, this woman keeps showing up everywhere.
I think I saw her on a bike once.
Probably.
Yeah, it was raining. There was Tiny Dancer.
So this is the story. Oh, and then Rebecca and I were doing like this cardio kickboxing class.
That was awful.
I think it was our one time.
I think one time we did that.
And she was in the class. No, we maybe did it more than once because she was there. I think she was there a couple times. Oh. But anyway, you know, we're through with this class. It was so grueling. We're like... The sweat is pouring off of us. We just want to lay down and take a nap, but not Tiny Dancer. What does Tiny Dancer do? She goes over to the mirror in the exercise studio and starts practicing some dance moves.
Right.
And she's gyrating and
I mean, kicking. I have to say, I think she really was a dancer.
She could have been. She had that kind of body,
right,
for sure.
She did have a dancer body.
But it was a little odd because everybody else is trying to like pick up their mats and put their things away. Yeah. And get out of there. And right. She's like taking her time dancing in the mirror. And so after all these experiences, I started talking to a friend of mine about it. And I'm like, yeah, there's this woman that I see everywhere. And I was describing her. And she's like, oh, I know that woman. That's Tiny Dancer.
Okay, but we should say we weren't calling her Tiny Dancer then. I think we might have been calling her something else.
Maybe. I don't know if she didn't have a nickname or if we called her. She went by some other name. But once this name was revealed, yeah. Everything fell into place.
Right.
It was like perfection. It's
so
like,
your
yep.
friend knew her.
Yeah. And because and a friend of hers is the one who named her Tiny Dancer. And then they
what?
Started talking. Yes. Tiny Dancer had like.
She has like legion.
Yes. Yep.
Why is that?
I don't know.
That's
Maybe
weird.
She's just always around. She's
just
noticeable.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
She's noticeable. But now it's been years since we've had a tiny.
I know. Have I mean, not seen Tiny
haven't
Dancer.
Seen Tiny Dancer. I think
unless she's really physically changed.
I think she either left town or.
Maybe she went to strike out in New
Maybe,
York City
yeah.
or something.
She's probably on Broadway right now.
Probably.
Yeah.
She probably is.
Right.
So that's the saga of Tiny Dancer.
Tiny
probably
Dancer.
One of the most
iconic,
infamous, iconic.
Yes. Yeah.
Recurring randos in the history of Minneapolis.
Right. Right up there with my other favorite, a man we call Bronze Man. There was a man that lived in the apartment building not far down from my apartment building, and we would just see him walking down the street all the time, never with a shirt. He used to always, it seemed like he'd be coming back from some tanning session somewhere or just like laying out at the lake or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is like savage tan. This is tan like when you used to just put like Wesson oil on
yeah.
and just lay down with like one of those reflecting things
yeah,
that like
baby
shone
oil.
Up
yeah.
in your baby oil.
Crisco.
Yeah. So you really are cooking your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was all over like really great savage tan. And so we would see him. I mean, I lived close to him, so it wasn't unusual to see him, but I would see him walking streets, like, all over the place.
And never with a shirt, correct? But
very
did he wear
rarely.
Jean shorts?
Yes, cut-offs.
Jean shorts, yeah.
Cut-offs.
Yep.
And then there was a short period of time when I didn't see Bronze Man. And then when he reappeared, still tan, but very emaciated. Oh. And like his face was like his cheekbones went in. And I kind of felt like, oh no, someone's terminally ill. Like it could be the end. This could be the end for Bronze Man. Mm-hmm. No, just saw Bronze Man.
Like, what?
Saw Bronze Man like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think I caught him. Keith definitely saw him. He was like, hey, Bronze Man. And same apartment building. We were going by. I think we might have been on our bikes.
Oh,
yes. The building was having new steps installed. And it was always our theory that Bronze Man was the superintendent or the manager mm-hmm. of the apartment building. Still there. Still thin. I mean, I don't know what happened.
Still bronze.
Yes, because I feel like if he was white, like really white, we wouldn't even know him.
I wouldn't know.
Who are you? Yeah. Yes, still bronze. Oh. So Bronze Man, he does live on.
That kind of makes me happy. Like
it made me happy too.
Yeah, I'm like if I would see Hammies or Tiny Dancer again, it'd be really exciting. Yeah.
And I'd be like, you're still here and I'm still here. Yeah. We're still here, damn it. Yeah. All right, so who else do we have? Okay, so you have Bikini Woman.
So this is a woman that I would just see in my mind. I named her Bikini Woman. She was an African-American woman who I would see everywhere riding her bike in a bikini. And usually around the, you know, she'd be around the lake. But I'd see her a lot, but always on the bike, always in a bikini. And it was like, oh,
what kind of bikini, though?
What do you mean?
Well, like, was it really revealing?
No, it was cute. It was like a cute.
No shorts on?
No.
So it's kind of like biking in your undies.
Kind of, okay. Yeah. All right. And I can't remember if she had shoes or not. I don't remember. But, you know, I'd see her all the time in the bikini. And it's like, you know.
Thus the name Bikini Woman.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a little literal, but hey.
And so, you know, it was like, oh, yeah, there she is again until the fall day when it was really pretty chilly. And there she was still in the bikini riding the bike.
Oh,
and
no.
That's when it kind of crossed over from, hey, there she is to, oh, there might be a problem here.
Yeah.
So, and after that, I don't think I saw her ever
again.
So
it was only like one season of Bikini
Woman. No, it was.
What?
I'm pretty sure it's over a couple of years at least.
But only in the summer.
Usually only in the summer until that one time. And then I don't think I saw her again after that.
Oh, no. That's like a tragedy.
I know.
So I have someone that's kind of similar. Well, it's similar in some ways to Bikini Woman. So I was in college, and I would always see this guy rollerblading. And, like, I'm not the only one. Well, I should say, this guy wanted you to see him rollerblading. So he was a really good-looking African-American guy, tiny shorts, no shirt, rollerblading, no helmet, nothing.
Yeah.
Rollerblading everywhere, just everywhere. And everyone would always be like, oh, did you see Rollerblading Man? Or I don't even know. We just call him Rollerblading Man. And it had just such a mystique because it was like, who is that? Where does he come from? Like, how come he's always rollerblading down the same street? And, you know, he was attractive, a man of mystery. And so I do have a cautionary tale because it just so happens that a year after college, roughly, I met Rollerblading Man because we ended up working at the same restaurant. His name was Jesse, and he was a big asshole. And I was like, you are not my fantasy. Can you go back to being Rollerblading Man and not like this asshole? I mean, he sucked. He really sucked. And he was very arrogant.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, of course. I mean, he knew everyone was looking at him when he was rollerblading through town.
He had his own nickname, for God's sake.
Yeah. And I said to him, I remember I said to him something about like, oh, I used to see you rollerblading in town all the time. He was just very like, of course you did.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, who hasn't? Who doesn't see me rollerblading?
I rollerblade really, to work.
I have to say, I as soon as I met him, yeah. I literally lost all interest in this guy.
So I guess that's just that just shows don't ever meet these recurring randos.
Right. I mean, not like I ever wanted to hang out with Bronzeman or Hammies.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you think someone that you, these recurring randos, if you think someone's attractive, it might be better not to meet them. You just live on in your fantasy forever. Oh, I have a couple more. I have Rainbow Businessman. He's known by many people in town.
I have to hear about this.
I'm not sure if he exists anymore. He wears a bright monochromatic suit, but it changes all the time. So it'll be like bright red, mint green, bright yellow. And it's jacket, pants, tie. Sometimes I want to say matching fedora. All one color, but bright. Uh-huh. So I call him Rainbow Businessman because he always has a briefcase. And I worked at the U of M, and he would always be waiting for a bus. Always waiting for a bus in his suit, sitting on a bench. And I mentioned him to several people that I worked with. And like, oh, yeah, they had probably their own name for him. But everybody knew who that was. And I don't know where he worked, why he needed this briefcase, where he was going. Yeah, and I haven't seen him for a number of years either. Yeah. Same time period, there's this guy, I think we just called him Afro Man or Afro Guy. Mm-hmm. Huge, I mean, huge afro. And then he would put a peacock feather in it. He would always be at the cafes or restaurants around the U. Uh-huh. I don't know what happened to him, but everybody knew him too. Uh-huh. He kind of liked to come in somewhere and like, obviously set up shop to write some poetry or read poetry. Uh-huh. He was very set. He could have walked out of a portal from 1973, like very 70s.
Oh my gosh.
I hope he's still around. And then my third one is just this guy we would call Tall Bike Man because he had one of those tall bikes and it was strapped to the back of his car. And this one actually got pretty weird because I'd see him around Minneapolis. So I thought, in my neighborhood. So I thought, oh, well, he lives in my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Then I started seeing him in all the suburbs when I was in those suburbs. So I'd be in Edina or Eden Prairie and he would go by. It was him. There was a sign on his car that you could buy or order a tall bike. And then he disappeared, like just absolutely fell off the face of the earth. So I don't know what happened to Tall Bike Man. So do you have any of these people now?
Not really.
No one going right now?
No.
Oh, I have three going. roughly three.
Okay.
There's this guy called Sad. I call him Sad Sack. He's just so sad. He rides my bus. But he has a thing where he has to get on the bus first ahead of everybody.
Oh, my God.
So he will, like, run.
Oh, God.
He's in his 50s and he'll run to be the first to get to the door because he has to have the same seat.
Oh.
And he's worried that someone's going to take his seat.
Oh, God.
And so I actually had Sad Sack kind of elbow me out of the way one day, no. Which made me kind of mad. So I was like, dude, you don't even know if your seat is available. My favorite, though, is Old Greg, who lives about two blocks from me. Mm-hmm. I think he lives in someone's garage. And he's just been a character since I've lived in this house. He's gone through about maybe four or five vehicles mm-hmm. in the past couple of years because he buys these beaters and then crashes them mm-hmm. or gets in an accident. And he is just like this kind of folded up, crusty man. And he spends all his time down at the bar.
Mm-hmm. Driftwood Tar Bar.
Driftwood, which I always call the tumbleweed. I can never get the driftwood fixed in my mind. Forever it is the tumbleweed. So he's a regular there. He's had all these cars, and he seems to conduct some kind of surveillance from his car. He likes to sit in his car. You'll see him different places around the neighborhood just sitting in his car watching things. And his car, it smells so bad that yesterday I was walking my dog Freya, and I wasn't looking at the street. I was looking at a house. And all of a sudden, I was like, what's that smell? What is that smell? Because it was really hot. Uh-huh. And I was like, I looked over to the street. And it was his car parked there with all the windows open so that the fumes were coming out. Oh. And it was just like cheap smokes, sweat, you know, and hot vinyl, like kind of baking in the sun.
Yeah.
And then like I walked by his car. And 2 minutes later, he drove by me. Like, that must have come out and gotten his car. But he, you know, he's just awful. And then the other one in my neighborhood is Shambles. He works at the gas station and he's this really tall Wookiee guy. Yeah. And he really does just shamble around with his head down. We think he works at the gas station. We're not actually sure. He's never in the gas station, like taking money. Uh-huh. But he's frequently outside just cleaning up, like pushing a broom around.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that they'd, I mean, maybe he's like the maintenance man for the gas station. I don't know. But he's always out there. He's always out there, Shambles. And he shambles. Sometimes we see him shambling by our house. Oh. We're not sure where he's going. Uh-huh. So Shambles.
Just shambling on.
Sometimes I think you get these people if you walk your dog a lot too.
True.
You really notice people around the neighborhood and you're like, oh, there's, you know, this person, that person.
Yeah. Yep.
I think you need to get some new.
I know. Randos. I feel like I don't know what it is.
Randos in your life.
I just don't get out much, I guess.
You need to get out more. Here's where you can pick up. Yeah. Dog walking.
Uh-huh.
Bus riding.
Yeah.
Going to the gym.
Okay. I need to do that.
Do that some more. Let's see. That might be. And then sometimes through work, you'll get good random. I mean, they're not always randos, but.
Yeah. I guess.
Going to cafes.
Well, I do that a lot.
Yeah. You could maybe.
Yeah.
Got that covered.
I got that covered. Need to work on the other ones. So walk a dog.
Right.
Even ride though I don't have one. Ride a bus. Go to the gym.
Right.
Go to work.
Go to work. And then.
All things I need to do.
And then get some coffee. Yeah. You'll probably just cross all the other ones off the list and get
just
the coffee.
Just go to number five.
Just go to number five and get the coffee. If you establish yourself at a cafe, you'll find these randos in your life. I wanted to close with asking you, how's that Cindy Williams bio coming?
Oh, okay. I started it. I feel like, you know, I almost feel like we're going to need to do, like, go back and check our list of what we said we were going to read compared to what we're actually reading.
We're talking about our summer reads.
Our beach reads.
Beach reads. One of which was on Sarah's list was Shirley I Jest. By Cindy Williams. Mm-hmm.
Who played Shirley Feeney on Laverne and Shirley.
Right.
And I do have it on my Kindle, but then other reading has just gotten in the way.
Well, that means it must not be very compelling.
I will get back to it.
Okay. And my update is that I've completed the OJ book, and it was excellent.
Uh-huh.
And I would encourage everyone who's interested in that story to read the OJ. I think it's called The Run of His Life, OJ versus... I don't know. Sorry.
Go back and listen to the podcast.
I do know that it's written by Jeffrey Toobin. I'm still hoping for this.
All right. I will get to it.
Cindy Williams.
Okay.
We're going to do it. That's it. We've reached the end of my first episode about randomness. I'm sure it will not be the last because this is a topic that I really enjoy. And I wasn't really sure, you know, why do I enjoy it so much? And then I was reading a book while putting together this episode. It's called The Odd Woman in the City by Vivian Gornick. And it's just like it's a short book, essay form, and she's just kind of ruminating a little bit on different topics. It kind of jumps around. It has no one focus, but I think the overarching idea is just that she is a woman in the city, and why does she live in the city, and why, you know, what keeps her going, and, you know, just kind of an exploration of who she is as a person. And she refers to herself as the odd woman, which I think I can relate to that. I often feel like the odd woman. And I came across a passage in the book. She's talking about how she would spend so much of her time daydreaming. She was always kind of casting herself into the future and what she was going to do and, you know, how it was going to be, and kind of never living in the present. And when she realized this, she decided she was going to stop doing that. She was going to stop taking up so much of her own time with fantasizing. Then it became an issue of what was going to take the place of the daydreaming. You know, what she found was that it was just something that she called an immense, immense vacated present. There was not a lot in the present, and she needed to take on the task of filling it. And that seemed was actually very hard for her. It was hard to find a way to occupy the present when for so long she hadn't been. And so one day to the next, she becomes more aware of her street encounters. And the vacancy within was stirring with movement. And she says, a week later, another encounter left me feeling curiously enlivened. And then there was a third one that was a hilarious exchange between her and a pizza delivery man, completely random. And the sentences from their exchange kept repeating themselves in her head as she walked and making her laugh each time she thought of them. And it just filled her with a ever deeper sense of satisfaction. And she writes, energy, coarse and rich, began to swell inside the cavity of my chest. Time quickened. The air glowed. The colors of the day grew vivid. My mouth felt fresh. A surprising tenderness pressed against my heart with such strength. It seemed very nearly like joy. And with unexpected sharpness, I became alert, not to the meaning, but to the astonishment of human existence. It was there on the street, I realized, that I was filling my skin, occupying the present. So this might be a good spot in which to give you a small update. There was another bronze man sighting this week, biking to work. Keith saw him primarily. I think I just saw the back of his head as we whizzed by his apartment building. But Keith got a good look. Bronze man, still in action, still bronze, but thinner and using a cane. So not sure what the status is for bronze man. We'll definitely keep an eye on it. But I think this is a good part to just say that the random moments and the random things and the things that make you suddenly laugh out loud, they're not heavy. They're probably not that important. But really, that's the present, and the present is all we have. And what I have today on a Sunday afternoon is it's hot, and I'm in my little office here, and I have a cat who really wanted to sit on the mixer, and I've got a dog who wants to sleep in her bed and snore, and I'm probably going to go for a bike ride later, and maybe those kind of things are the most important things in our lives. And all the rest of it can just go to hell. How's that for a summary of this random episode? I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you like listening to this podcast. I have heard from people about how much they enjoy this podcast. And I think that means so much. It just means so much to me when that people are taking the time to listen and that they said that parts of it made them laugh. And I couldn't really ask for anything more than that. So until next time, go forth and be random.